ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We've reached the end of the AFL season. We've reached the end of the free agency and trade period. So it is a time of year where teams are looking to finalise their lists. And after 139 games, 11 years with Collingwood, Mason Cox was told this would be his final season in the black and white. The American trailblazer, who joined Collingwood as an international rookie from Oklahoma State University back in 2015. And he can join you back from almost the country of his birth, back in the US. Mason, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what has the last few weeks been like as you try and work out what your future looks like?
Oh, man, unemployment life is interesting. I'm gallivanting the world and just essentially trying to stay away from it a little bit, taking phone calls in the middle of the Arizona desert and just enjoying life. But more importantly than anything, I've just been hanging out with family, which has been nice back here. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks with quite a bit of change, obviously. But, hopefully it's for the better.
So can you take our listeners a little behind the curtain? Obviously, teams have communications with their lease managers, their coaches about what the end of the season looks like, but it's still probably a reality check when it does hit you that they're told that they're not going to go with you next season. What's it like when you receive that news and the days and weeks that follow?
It's a bit of a shock, I think. You spend 11 years anywhere, and just the whole process is totally unique and new for me. So, it was a bit of a shock at first, but, I think like anything, you give it a bit of time and you start looking forward to the next things in life and whatever it may be, and hopefully another team. And that's kind of what you focus on. You try not to focus too much on the past and just try to look to a positive glass is half full and look towards the future of what the opportunities might be out there.
So you're 35 next year in March. Do you hope to continue your AFL career? And what's it been like to, I guess, do you leave it to your manager? Do you get involved in that side of things? Or is part of the appeal about going to the US is to try and let the managers do what the managers do?
Yeah, let them do what they do. I'll do my part and I'll just stay healthy and fit over the off season. I haven't had any surgeries this off season, which is really nice. And feeling super positive about the future. And for me, it's just kind of staying in shape and making sure that, if an opportunity arrives, hopefully, you're ready to go and kind of prove your worth to whatever suitor that comes across. And, the phone calls, you got to take the phone calls with different coaches and, managers, whatever it is, GMs and stuff. So there's a few things that kind of float around. But, it's a unique experience. Not many people get to have. So I'm kind of trying to dwell, and just, enjoy it and make the most of it, because it's a chapter of my life that I always look back on and think that was pretty wild.
Are you hopeful something might happen, or are you sort of realist in terms of if the dream comes to an end, you're ready to move to the next phase of your life?
No, I'm pretty hopeful. I've had some good conversations for sure. And I'm excited for what's next. So I'm not going to give you too many details on who, but it's been some good conversations. I've had so many people reach out over the last kind of couple of weeks, and I think it says 99 plus messages on my phone that I have yet to even get back to, because it's so much, and you're just trying to spend time with family and enjoy it. But it has been overwhelming, just the amount of positivity and love and care and support that so many people have reached out with.
Mason Cox, Collingwood big man, is with you on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sports. So the first American to win an AFL premiership. It's such a unique story, given you have been back home in the US. Has it allowed you just that period to reflect upon how far you've come in that journey?
Yeah, I mean, people always ask me what I do for a living, and I go, AFL, and they're like, what is that? And it kind of reminds me of just how foreign it is here and just how far I had to come to be able to get to a premiership. But for me personally, it's been an incredible, time at the black and white. I'm very fortunate to have had an amazing club look after me for so long and had some amazing people there. So you definitely get reflective on the whole experience. And 11 years ago, I was a very different person. And I think, people talk about accomplishments and, what you've done and everything else. And I look back, and I think I've said this before, is just like the person I've become is kind of what I'm most proud about. Like, you can win games, you can win medals, you can win trophies, whatever it is. But, you got to look at yourself in the mirror every single day. And I'm pretty proud of kind of how far I've come and the trials and tribulations I've had to go through to kind of get to where I'm at now. And like I said, I'm just really looking forward to the future.
For our listeners that may not know your whole story, obviously from Oklahoma State to playing in the AFL, how did you get from one extreme to the other? I mean, there's so many chapters as to how you went to playing a game that you never even knew about.
Well, I'm writing a book, so they can pre-order at some point once I finish it, but it's going to be a long one. But in short, someone Facebook messaged me, told me what AFL was, went to a combine in Los Angeles without any idea what it was, just a free trip, and then that turned into a free trip to Melbourne, Australia, a place I'd never even knew existed. And then from there, I did another little trial thing, got picked up by the club, and first game Anzac Day, whatever it is, 85,000, and kicked the first goal, and just the career kind of went from there. So a lot of mini stories, obviously, as you can imagine. You know, mechanical engineer by trade, you know, had a degree in that and had a job lined up, and essentially took this massive, you know, punt or risk in life to come to a country I'd never even really knew anything about, to a city I'd never even heard of, in a place I didn't know anyone in, and play a sport I didn't even know existed.
And of course, learning the rules of the game, learning how to kick the footy. Have you now seen, when you're back in the US, and I know you've done some work with USA AFL, that the next generation, the possibilities that might be in America for those that are keen to take a risk like you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure no one understands the rules, if I'm being honest with you. But I think that's just up to the determination of the person. But yeah, for over here, I actually just had a I went to kind of a high performance facility yesterday, and I was talking to the guy about, you know, a bunch of NFL talent, NBA talent that kind of comes through there, that, you know, is the possibility of going to play AFL and, you know, being able to make it in the league over there. So there's definitely, you know, avenues. We just have to make sure that, you know, the ones that we are accessing and the people that we access are the ones that are going to be most beneficial to be able to hopefully transition to an AFL career. And I always say, like, it's been an incredible, you know, journey so far with my kind of career, but I would love more than anything before, you know, my days are done, is to see someone else somewhat carry the torch and, you know, be able to represent the United States at some point, you know, in the league.
Mason Cox is with you on Summer Grandson on ABC Sport. It helps you almost 7 foot, but probably that prelim final in 2018 against Richmond is probably the moment in which everyone sort of, you announced yourself on such a big stage. I think it was 11 marks and 3 marks inside 50 to kick the 3 goals and the chant of USA around the MCG. How vivid are your memories of that day?
It comes and goes. A lot of people talk about it. It's like, I feel like you're in such that flow state that you're not probably soaking in, you know, the moment within itself. But, it was a crazy experience, I think. Like, my mom and dad were there, which was such a, you know, beautiful thing to be able to share that moment with them. And, you know, to have the whole kind of stands chanting USA is, you know, kind of a wild, wacky thing to hear at the MCG. Like, trying to explain that probably would be harder than trying to explain the rules. But, it was just, for me, just such an incredible moment to be able to share with the family, and somewhat cemented as part of my legacy, I guess, in the football world is that game, because people keep bringing it up to me. But who knows, maybe Richmond would be, you know, four-peat, whatever it is, I don't know. But it's one of those I look back on as one of those games you just kind of felt like you were unstoppable, really.
And the challenges across your career, I guess you became obsessed with a game which you didn't know about you'd have to be to be in the league for 11 years. But the challenge of your eyesight and the goggles to continue your career, there was a stage there where it was quite fearful that you might lose your eyesight.
Yeah, I think I've had 5 or 6 surgeries on my eyes. And it's very unfortunate, but part of being 7 feet tall, people can't reach the ball. They can reach your head and just scrape your face, I guess. So, unfortunately to have that, but I think overall I've probably had like 20 surgeries or something throughout my time, you know, some very minimal, some a bit more major, but it's taught me resilience, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. And I think I've had a lot of challenges from that side of it that made me the person I am today. And geez Louise, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And I feel like I've had plenty of things try to kill me, so pretty strong fella. There's been so many challenges through the whole experience. And, I've had amazing support, some amazing people that have come into my life throughout these 11 years. And, I continue to, you know, value them, and hopefully they feel the appreciation and love from me also.
It's going to be a great book. It's such a unique story to win a premiership with Collingwood. So when the playing career does come to an end, do you have an idea? Would you like to be involved in coaching? Would you like to do media? There might be a spot for the Australian US ambassador to the president going potentially. Is there anything that would appeal to you?
I don't think Trump's going to be hiring me anytime soon. I hate to break it to you. I would love that position, though. Apparently, he just found out who Kevin Rudd was.
Yes.
I think for me, whenever that chapter does, you know, come around, I'd love to work in media. I'd love to do some kind of, you know, coaching, hopefully, in a sense of maybe an American coming out and helping him get used to the country and the game, or, you know, other ruckmen that are coming through the ranks. I'd love to do something like that. I do love giving back to the community, and I'm a massive kind of supporter of the Indigenous community in Australia, and feel like they've kind of taken me in as their own. So, yeah, I'd love to kind of give back to them at some point. So, yeah, there's a lot of people actually messaged me, asked me to come play in Darwin. So I told them, I said, when I retire, hopefully in 2 years or whatever it is, I want to go play up in the Tiwi Islands because I've had an incredible experience up there, and I just would love to play on that oval and official game.
Yeah, the old saying, the big men don't get any shorter. I'm sure your phone will continue to ring with the possibilities of playing all around Australia once your AFL career does come to a close. I guess finally, Mason, I'm just interested in your insights in, I mean, you've gone through the experience of that conversation with Craig McRae and Justin Lepage and the Collingwood experience. There's always comparisons with American sport and how our industry is run here in Australia. Can you see a day where we're going to see more sort of free agency side of things and players being, I guess, traded without their permission? Or is the money in Australian sport just not the same as what we see in the US?
As the money kind of increases, I think that becomes more of a chance, to be honest with you. And we definitely see it now where there's less one club players. And I think also the fans are open to players kind of shifting around where it used to be quite a negative kind of connotation to move clubs. But yeah, as the years go on and the money gets, you know, higher and higher, I think it just becomes a reality of the sport that people are going to have to accept. I mean, for me right now, I'm open to 17 teams to be able to pick me up, and, you know, wearing a different colors is going to be part of the journey. So yeah, it's going to be, I think, a big change over the next kind of period, and it's going to go less traditional probably to what AFL has, you know, kind of been for the last 125 years. And I think it's going to be an interesting decision for the AFL of how they handle that and try to keep people one club players. Because personally, I think it's a great thing about the AFL, father son rules and all this kind of stuff that, you know, keeps tradition and amazing stories in the league. I'd love to continue to see that, but we'll see how the AFL kind of handles it.
Mason, great to hear from you. Congratulations on your story to this date, and hopefully there's another chapter to be told. Enjoy some time back in the US, and thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.